Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Bulls Beat Podcast Show, the Chicago Bulls Podcast.
Welcome back to the Bulls Beat, Bulls fans. Doug Tonis here with you discussing our Chicago Bulls. And it is exciting. Draft time is coming up. We're just around the corner from the NBA draft, one of my favorite times of the year. Just ready for the draft party. That's going to be off the hook. It's going to be a blast. So hope you are going to enjoy the NBA draft wherever you may be during it. Bulls with the two picks, obviously a chance to make other things happen in this draft too. So the first thing to realize is the Bulls can have up to $23 million in cap room if they renounce everyone except for Zach LaVine next year. So that cap room will be something that I think the Bulls would like to use to try and gain other assets rather than use to improve the team. I don't think they're going to try and sign any big-name free agents this year. And of course, with Kawhi Leonard demanding a trade to get out of San Antonio, and there was a rumor from The Athletic that Memphis wants to get rid of Chandler Parsons' contract and is willing to do something with number 4 pick in order to do that. Those two things, along with just your other unknown things, will give the Bulls potentially a lot of room to use that cap room to gain another asset. So if they were to trade with Memphis, a lot of people are suggesting maybe it's Parsons for number 4, for number 7, and the Bulls can trade up and they take on all this extra space. Now, that's a deal to me which is somewhat intriguing, because if you really, really like someone at 4 and you think there's actually a big talent drop-off at 4, then this is easily worth it. And so I'm going to use a couple different examples to illustrate this point from a Bulls perspective. Now, the Bulls traded up 16 and 19 to get number 12 and draft Doug McDermott. And we hated that. It was like the worst thing ever. And the reason it was the worst thing ever was because 16 and 19 both ended up being better picks than Doug McDermott was by himself. And so we didn't like that. But now go back to 2003 when the Bulls wanted to trade up and they were unable to do so. They were trying to trade to 4 from 7. And if they had been able to trade to 4, they were going to take Dwayne Wade. And they ended up taking Kirk Heinrich. Now imagine how different the Bulls would have been if they had drafted Dwayne Wade then. So the real key thing here is if you trade up, you have to be right, because you're always losing assets. Now, what could the Bulls do with this $25 million in cap room for 2 years if they don't take this trade up? It's hard to say what the reasonable opportunity cost is, but I would say $25 million in cap room probably buys you a pick in the middle of the first round. So effectively, you're going to be giving up maybe 2 to 3 first round picks in terms of value, you know, picks in, we'll say, the 12 to 20 range in terms of value to move up from 7 to 4 if you were able to take or make that exact deal. So I think that's probably a little bit high. Now, it's not high, though, if the Bulls really love someone at 4 and think it's a star and they're right about who that person is. So really, it comes down to how much value they see dropping off between 4 and 7. If they see it as a very steep drop off, then the chance to get a superstar, someone you think might be a superstar, is worth it rather than getting a player who's maybe just a good player at 7, if that's how you see the draft. There's other thoughts, obviously. I posted one for the Grizzlies, which would be number 22 plus Chris Dunn plus Bobby Portis, and if they want, also Denzel Valentine for number 4. And the purpose of this trade is if the Grizzlies are looking at trying to actually contend next year, you dump all that bad salary away. They get a high upside player in Chris Dunn to kind of take that value of the 4 pick and say, hey, look, we've still got a really young potential guy. You get another young guy in Bobby Portis, who's a quality player, another young guy in Denzel Valentine, who's a decent player. So these three players, I'll give them kind of like a young core they can do something with. Now, they're clearly not a core that is going to lead you anywhere, but they give you a lot of like valuable young commodities that can, you know, produce and contribute on your team. And so if you do a rebuild, these guys could still be valuable pieces for you going forward. And so you're getting like just a lot of darts. It's sort of the opposite of the Jimmy Butler trade. You're trading one good value asset for 3 dispersed value assets, and I guess 4 if you count the picks. So that, to me, is a deal where the Grizzlies are going to hope a couple of these darts pan out. You know, if Bobby Portis continues his growth, he could become, you know, a very strong player by himself. Chris Dunn could become a very strong player by himself. Denzel Valentine, I'm not sure his ceiling is super high, but could still become a solid player, and you still get a pick at 22. So if you go with that, you're getting a lot of darts. And for a Memphis team that last season was still looking to make the playoffs until Conley got hurt and, you know, they then kind of fell off the map, you know, this was a team that feels like maybe if they didn't get some talent inflection, could be good right away again. And so this would give them a lot of depth and quality talent around and save them a ton of money. maybe they would be interested in something like that. From a Bulls perspective, it's not necessarily a great trade value-wise, and you have to hit a number four or else you gave up a bunch of assets for nothing. But the interesting thing from the Bulls perspective is now, you're not going to be able to do anything else free agency-wise in 2018 or 2019, but what you are going to be able to do, that's very intriguing, is have a lot of cap space in 2020 because the only guy under contract in 2020 now is going to be Zach LaVine, assuming you sign him to an extension this summer. And everyone else, and even Zach may not be if he does a one-on-one deal, depending on the deal we work out, but Zach LaVine, the only potential guy. And then the other guys on the roster are going to be the Bulls' 2019 pick, number four, number seven this year, and Lauri Markkanen. So you're going to go into that 2020 free agency period where Anthony Davis happens to be an unrestricted free agent with Lauri, two high selections in this draft, and Zach LaVine, and probably enough room to sign two max free agents. Now that is an intriguing situation. Because if you hit on both these picks, and if Zach LaVine, you know, settles in to become a good player, say like the third best player on a title team or fourth best player, say he becomes a Klay Thompson-like player, maybe not quite as good as Thompson, but like something like that. We'll say a little worse than that, a poor man's Thompson. If he becomes that type of player, Lauri becomes, say, you know, a good player, and you get good players with these other two picks, and you've got four guys that we'll say the low rung all-star to kind of like near quasi all-star, like four guys will say, you know, in maybe even none of them are top 10, but you got four who are like, say, in the top 40. That's like a very powerful set of players to add two max free agents to. And if you can bring in Anthony Davis and someone else, you could really just turn into a super team overnight. And so this type of trade is a way of aligning your assets to all hit at one point in time. Right before Markkanen has to sign his new deal, you still have this cap room, and then you have a plethora of young assets. This effectively would be similar to the 76ers process model, where what they did is they kept trying to ship off these guys they didn't feel were the right guys and just roll back into higher upside, you know, draft picks and things like that. So the Bulls would really do well to try and take on that type of philosophy of getting higher potential, getting a couple guys that you hope pan out in the stars and giving yourself the best chance of that, and then having a lot of cap room at that same time. And I think you become an extremely intriguing situation in 2020. Now, obviously, fans hate the idea of the 2020 plan, but the thing about this is I think it's actually an interesting plan long before 2020 as well. It's not like you're just waiting around doing anything. You're going to have LaVine, you're going to have Markkanen, you're going to have two-star potential players in this draft, and then you'll just fill out the roster with whatever else you have. That's a team that also, I think, can do very well this year and next year. And so I think they're a team that's going to hit 2020 with 45 to 50 wins if they hit on these draft picks, and then also have room for two max free agents. So that's why I think something like that would make a lot of sense for the Bulls. From the Grizzlies' perspective, you know, they really have to think they're not so high about who's in this draft class if they want to make that type of trade. And I don't know much about what the Grizzlies are doing, but the rumor doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me. So I don't think there's going to be any smoke with this one here. But I do think it's interesting to at least discuss and hope for if you're a Bulls fan. And either way, I think it does illustrate what I would want to try and do with all this cap room the Bulls have are moves similar to this. Now, the Kawhi Leonard thing also brings up a possibility because the Lakers now, if they want to try and build a core of Kawhi, Paul George, and LeBron James, which is something that is intriguing everyone right now and would be the most Lakers thing ever if they were able to do it, I think that would be a really powerful thing for Lakers to do, obviously, would maybe make them the second or best team in the NBA next year, depending on your view of the Warriors versus that group. I still think I would go with the Warriors, but a lot of people, I think, are definitely going to take the Lakers in that scenario. Either way, gives you a really excellent chance to be the favorite in an era where it felt like, wow, there's no way anyone could be the favorite over the Warriors. So I think that is kind of intriguing. But the Lakers probably need some help. And they either need the Spurs to be willing to take on Luol Deng's contract, or they need to be able to ship that somewhere else. Because otherwise, it's going to be very difficult, even if they stretch, to make room for Kawhi Leonard and then still have two max salary spaces later. They need to stretch Luol Deng in order to have enough room to sign LeBron and Paul George. And then after that, it's going to be very difficult to figure out how to match salaries to trade for Kawhi Leonard. Now, if they're able to unload Deng ahead of time to a team like, say, the Bulls, who could absorb his $17 million, then all of a sudden it's a much better deal. And beyond that, this also fits into the same timeline of the Bulls of being able to absorb his contract and hit that 2020 period. So from the Bulls' perspective, it becomes you know, what else would the Lakers throw in? And I think that becomes the tricky part for them, because they're going to have to give enough assets to the Spurs in order to get back Kawhi Leonard. The Spurs probably don't want to take Luol Deng's dead salary as part of that deal. And so maybe the Bulls can get something for that. Could they pry Brandon Ingram or Lonzo Ball away as part of that deal? Would you want Lonzo Ball? I don't know if I'd want him. But it would be interesting, and I think that would be part of the thing. Now, the challenging part about that is then the Spurs probably want, you know, those couple guys. And so what could the Bulls take on? Could they take on Kuzma maybe in order to make this work? You know, I think that becomes an interesting scenario. Could they just get a flurry of extra draft picks? One thing that I think as my creative idea for this is I'll take on Luol Deng, and I want your 2021, 2023 draft picks unprotected, and then maybe I'll do this for you. Because the interesting part to me about that is now you're going to hope that the Lakers somehow implode in those years. Now, by 2023, LeBron James probably retired, or at least almost certainly a shell of himself, unless he's just Superman out there. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, though, could still be, you know, near enough in their primes to be a very good team, and the Lakers have shown an ability to rebuild quickly. But that's the type of scenario where I might say, all right, I'll gamble on this, and maybe I even ask for a 2022 pick swap. You know, I try and push those picks out as kind of like as far as I can, just stash those assets in the bag and see what I can do with them. And that might be something where the Lakers say, hey, if this gets the trade done and we get Kawhi Leonard in here and we get LeBron James and we get Paul George, what do we care about what happens in 21 or 23? You know, they really just might not, right? Because you're now back on the path leading titles. And if that's what it takes to get you there, then you might be interested. And I think with Houston, it's the same deal. Use this cap room if you can. Take on Ryan Anderson and whatever else you can maybe help the Rockets do if they can make cap room for LeBron James and they're willing to give you some picks that are far out. I think that's my sneaky GM play. I know it'll suck in the short term. It won't help you in the short term. But in the short term, I don't think the Bulls are doing anything. And this is the type of trade where you can really make some massive, massive improvements down the line if things bounce your way. Now, clearly, they might not. You might make this type of trade. The team stays good or they stay average and you don't get great things for those picks. But I think that is the type of risk you take where you have this really chance of winning a super lottery out of it. And it gives you a chance to stack lots of assets together. And you maybe aren't going to find something else to do in the short term. So beyond that, other interesting news that came out, Chris Dunn was reported to have poor work ethic by Joe Cowley, who then backtracked from his own story, basically saying, well, he did three sets instead of four in one of his weight routines, and it wasn't a big deal. And so this is the thing you just got to watch out with Cowley. It's like he is the, here's the bad news. You just welcome, here's the bad news. And just kind of takes the most negative slant amazingly possible on anything. And so John Paxson came out, refuted the article. And I thought that was interesting because I don't think Paxson comes out and refutes the article if he feels there's really a problem. Then they just kind of leave it out there as a subtle thing. And I don't think you go through and refute that. Casey Johnson also posted a somewhat interesting, basically a puff piece about management. It was basically a Gar Forman piece showing, hey, this is why you should like Gar Forman and he's really a good guy and blah, 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 blah. And I'm not saying you should run out and like Gar Forman because Casey Johnson wrote this article. I mean, it is just kind of a puff thing, whatever. But it did kind of have some interesting insights into how the Bulls operation works. Just noting in there that John Paxson doesn't like really working the trade lines or working with other general managers or working with agents. And that type of thing is really all Gar, and kind of gave Gar full credit for getting the Mirotić deal done, which ended up being a pretty good deal. So I think that was just kind of neat to read how things are sort of split up. We always try and figure out like who does the work, who is the one who is doing this part and that part, who gets credit for this, who gets credit for that. And I think this article gave you a little bit of a glimpse of what the detailed roles of the different people are and who is doing what. And you can ignore the rest of the feel-good stuff if you like. I get that. And really drew a lot of criticism from Bulls fans going, oh, wow, puff piece on Gar. This is crap, blah, blah, blah. You know what? I don't get it. There's going to be puff pieces about every single person that comes out in a Bulls uniform and every person in an NBA uniform over the summer, right? That's what happens in the summer. There's very little real news. So people just write about how great this guy's working out, how great that guy's working out, how this guy's improving his three. I'm sure before the season's over, we'll read 20 puff pieces about Lauri Markkanen and how badass he is. And it's just the way it goes. So I don't feel that it's a crazy thing to write one actually about management. I thought it was just a little interesting to hear some of the things going on there. So we'll see what happens with the rest of the summer, and if there's any other interesting things to note from the puff piece segues. And for the NBA draft this year now, we're really getting down to the nitty-gritty, right? We're down to just a few days away. Rumors all over the place about who's going where. Kevin Knox is a guy who keeps coming up on my radar as someone who's going to get moved up in the draft and is driving high. And it's interesting seeing the different places the Bulls are connected to people. So Michael Porter Jr. seems to have a lot of connections to the Bulls in the media. I think I've seen Kevin Knox have connections to the Bulls in the media, possibly at number 7. Wendell Carter Jr. is there. And so it's interesting seeing how just every day there's like someone else connected. And going back to that Gar Puff piece, I think it was interesting. I believe there was a segment in there where Paxson said, or maybe it was in the Dunn refutation article, where Paxson basically said, anything you read about the draft at this point is BS. Like, you just can't trust anything you read. And so that's where I'm at. And I think that's one of the really exciting things about going into this draft is an NBA fan is I have no idea what the Bulls are going to do. Like, I feel like they're going to end up with Wendell Carter Jr. Like, that's my gut feel. But then I read so much about all this other stuff that thinks, hey, maybe it's Michael Porter Jr., maybe it's Kevin Knox, maybe it's this guy, maybe it's that guy. There's chances to trade up. There's probably chances to trade down. I mean, it's really just all over the board in terms of what you could expect. So I think it's going to be an exciting day. I can't wait to see what goes down and really see where the Bulls build their franchise in the future. I have hopes. I think I'll probably be disappointed, but I have hopes that they figure out a way to use their cap room in order to generate more future assets. In my mind, the only untouchable assets right now for the Bulls should be Lowry at number 7, and everything else they have should be focused on trying to get very high potential, high upside prospects. If you can package Portis, you can package 22, you can package Valentine. If you could package LaVine, you can't because he's a free agent, so you can't do that on draft day. But if you could do a sign and trade for LaVine and someone else wanted him or whatever, you know, package all that stuff up if you want. But high potential, high impact draft picks, players, however you want to get it, that's what you need to do. You need to try and consolidate your talent as much as you can, as few buckets as you can, as much consolidated talent as you can. That's what the Bulls should be aiming for. And with $23 million in cap room and a lot of like good but not great assets, I think there is a good chance for the Bulls to make that type of move. It always depends on there being some other team that wants to take that type of trade. And for a lot of reasons, there sometimes aren't. But I think there's a good amount of teams in luxury tax this year who will be looking to get out of that luxury tax and make a trade. And I think if the Bulls can be a facilitator in one of those deals, a couple I mentioned earlier possibilities, Denver with Kenneth Faried is also a possibility. So if the Bulls can make those type of deals, they should be all over it. Anyway, that will wrap it up for this edition of the Bulls Beat. If you want to make it to my draft party, I've kind of given up on trying to keep it to 40 people. I have no idea how many people are coming now. So however many people come, that's how many people come. If you want to try and sneak in still, just shoot me an email, DougTonis@comcast.net, or hit me up on RealGM or Twitter, whatever you got to do, and I will try and accommodate you. Until next week, we'll have the post-draft podcast and see how things wrap up. Hopefully we're excited for that one as well.